Entering the world of quantum physics can really mess with your mind. Probability waves, quantum non-locality, quirks, quarks, neutrinos, it's all a blur of chaos and unspecificity. What the bleep is going on down there? Well, as it turns out, not what they've been suggesting. I'm Richard Lloyd-Jones. Today on Thinking with Somebody Else's Head, we'll dip our big toe into the complex world of quantum physics. You can check us out, as always, at somebodyelseshead.blogspot.com. And frankly, we have to be a little patient with ourselves. I mean, if you're like me, you probably have very dim memories of high school physics classes. Hey, they were still using slide rules when I was studying about energy and matter and the speed of light. But we're in an even more bizarre world today, a world where light can be a particle and a wave at the same time, where it's being suggested that we create reality, where unexpected things can happen, and often do. But this is thinking with somebody else's head, and we need to separate the reality from the BS. A lot of what we're being sold here in this virtual reality of quantum physics is, frankly, a lot of balderdash. You can be deceived about this if you pay too much attention to the new ideas emerging from movies like The Matrix, or, much worse, what the bleep do we know? To understand the truth, we got to understand some basics. Today, Cesar Sauce and I embark on a fascinating discussion about what the bleep is really going on. Our discussion will be a little longer than usual today because it's going to take a bit to understand this. Cesar, metaphysics, the father of physics, let's start there. In quantum physics, they notice that an electron changes location when you look at it, and it changes in ways you can't predict. It defies the rules of probability. What mistakes have the quantum physicists made as they've extrapolated this out to the macro world?
This is the problem that Dr. Norberto Cappi points out very well in his work of metaphysics. Aristotle, when he built up the system of metaphysics, he inverted the concepts. And one of the main concepts inverted by Aristotle is that the lesser creates the greater. So based on this inverted concept in metaphysics, physics has come along thinking that you need to find the building blocks of nature to understand how the universe is put together. For Dr. Cappi, there is this transcendental energy which is made of order, which is made of harmony. And this energy creates particles and waves detected in time and space. So there is no dualistic principle for Cappi. There is just one principle, one fundamental substance, which is the energy.
Talk a little bit more about this essential energy, Cesar. How does Dr. Cappi see that, and how would you define that for the people who are listening?
Well, you cannot remove from the picture of science the figure of God. And God, for religion, is the creator of all things. And even today, quantum physicists are considering the existence of God. But they want to get there with this method, Aristotelian method. And Dr. Cappi comes from the other way around. This essential energy would be the manifestation of God, let's say, of this superior being, which has who has a mind, who has intentions, and who has a will to create the world. And everything runs according to his harmony. So something in this universe can go wrong if something opposes the will of this superior being. Then we have problems. So for Dr. Cappi, this essential energy is the manifestation of God, let's say, this energy emanating from him, and he is the source of this energy and is keeping the universe. He's maintaining the universe forever with his energy, with his will.
So we're looking the wrong way. We're looking down, 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 when we should be looking much more up, 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 in a sense. We should be trying to make this reconnection with this world of essential energy that you're talking about.
And so we always think that the smaller creates something.
And also we think that the energy comes from the matter, right?
Exactly. Like, for example, thoughts comes from the brains. This is the same thing.
Where does thought come from?
The brains is just a transformer. It's exactly like a transformer. It grasps energy from outside, from this essential field, and transforms these energies into thoughts. according to our will, to our personality. We are transformers of this energy. We are not creators. You don't create a single thought. You just receive this substratus from this field and you transform it according to your mind.
That's why they've been investigating Einstein's brain for so many years and they can't find the source of his intelligence in the brain.
Yes, of course not. This was more in his psychological life.
So it would mean then that our process of capturing this energy would be the essential question, right?
Exactly. And this capturing belongs to the realm of consciousness. The more consciousness you have of the being, of the creator and of yourself, the more energy you grasp.
So we capture this essential energy in our brain, which then transforms into thoughts, into ideas, into inspiration.
Exactly. Creativity and so forth. That's why Mozart, for example, said that he used to listen to the melodies in his head while he was walking in the parks and in the fields, and he received the complete melodies in his mind. So he was tuned with this resonant energy, transcendental energy.
In some way, he was capturing this essential energy in a more pure way than most of us do.
Yes, than most of us do.
This is where Dr. Kebbe's work gets very interesting, I think, because it focuses on how we block this essential energy. Talk a little bit about that.
Human beings, they are very different one from the other because they have their will. They have their own talents. So you will never find one person exactly the same as the other. Even twins who have the same DNA, they are different in personality. You never find one person exactly the same as the other. And every person, every single person has a kind of resonance with this essential energy. And depending on this resonance, he will capture a specific kind of knowledge, a specific kind of information from this field. But this field is there for everyone. Depending on how you vibrate, depending on how you make you tune to this energy, you will have that immediate knowledge. This is the source of knowledge.
Leonardo da Vinci, when he was given a commissioned to paint something. Well, he was still an apprentice with his master, Verrocchio, and Verrocchio was given a commission to make this painting, and Verrocchio painted the major figures and left the minor figures to his assistants. He gave Leonardo an angel in the left-hand corner, and Leonardo made a decision at 21 years old, just as an apprentice. He made a decision to make the painting in oil, which was virtually unheard of in that part of the world at that time. And it's interesting, this, Cesar, because he must have captured an inspiration of what would be best for this painting, what would like really make it stand out, what would make it really beautiful. He captured this intuition somehow and then followed it. He didn't block it. He didn't say, oh, no, I'm only an apprentice. What do I know? I should do what everybody else does. They'll laugh at me. They'll think I'm stupid. I might make a mistake. All of those restrictions, what Kepi calls pathologies, he must have had the willingness to follow this inspiration that he received from this essential world that you're talking about.
He was connected to something Dr. Kepi calls universals, and is also a subject of philosophy. These universals, they are like universal concepts that are embedded in this resonant field of transcendental energy. They are like tuning forks, to simplify. And you have the same tuning forks inside your mind. Depending on the way you think, your tuning forks will tune up with these tuning forks of this essential field. And it will resonate. And you'll get that knowledge, that specific knowledge.
You're suggesting then that there is a universal world, a world of rules maybe, of structures, of the way things work, which is completely different from what the quantum physics world tells us.
Yes, quantum physics wants to build reality. And Dr. Kepi says otherwise, reality is already made. Everything which is possible to be discovered is already discovered. It's just a matter of tuning to it, to these things.
Leonardo also talked about how he used to observe nature a lot when he was young, especially birds in flight. And at a certain point in his life, he was creating parachutes and these kinds of flying machines hundreds of years before they were ever created. And they've tested this parachute, and it works perfectly. And he created it on paper 300 years before the first parachute flight. But what's interesting to me, Cesar, is that as he's observing nature, what is he observing? He's observing what works. He's observing the principles that already exist.
The universals, yeah.
The universals that already exist. There are principles of aerodynamics. And in this documentary, what they said was that he developed the principles of aerodynamics. Of course he didn't develop the principles of aerodynamics. That's completely wrong. He observed the principles of aerodynamics that already existed. Well, what a difference this is from the quantum physics world that tells us that you create reality by the opinions you have about what you see, what you observe.
This is the problem of quantum physics. Quantum, the very name quantum, means small. So physics cannot base itself on the small objects, because the small objects, they are consequence of what is great, what is big. So physics should come from the greater to the smaller.
Here's Aristotle's mistake again. And what I really value in Kepi's work and what you're trying to bring to us today is how Kepi is reconnecting again with this forgotten world of the universals that Plato brought, that St. Augustine brought, this idea that there are universals that exist and we need to move into alignment with those, into resonance, as you call it.
Yeah, Richard, for example, if you study an organ in the body, if you take an organ and you start to dissect it, you will never understand its purpose if somebody comes to you and give you a heart for you to study. But you only understand what is a heart when you see the heart functioning inside the whole body. Because the heart is part of the body. You can never come and split the particles thinking that you are going to create or discover laws for the big universe based on small particles. This is insane, you know. This is what we are living today, insanity in science, because of this inverted orientation of Aristotle. We should study the whole and understand the small. Not the other way around.
This is much more sane to me because the world of quantum physics says that the universe is a universe of possibilities, probabilities. When you make a decision, you set in motion a series of consequences that happen to be true only because you made that decision. If you made a different decision, you'd have a whole different set of probabilities or possibilities that would unfold in front of you. It seems a very megalomaniac point of view to take.
Yes, exactly. This is the vision of somebody who wants to play God.
Today on Thinking with Somebody Else's Head, we've been trying to shed some light on reality. It's admittedly a difficult subject and one we need to investigate more in upcoming shows. Check back a lot or subscribe and you'll get all the latest. SomebodyElsesHead.blogspot.com. I'm Richard Lloyd-Jones.